I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
This year's Super Bowl halftime show was surprisingly devoid of all the blatant occultic symbolism, syncopated tributes to Horus and hagiographies of the fallen angels, and over-supplicatory bowing down to the demonic. And yet, insofar as they managed to avoid all of this, they also managed to engage in the most sterile of presentations, simply a public gauntlet thrown down from one rapper to another. And this time, instead of it being overtly a spiritual occasion, it was mostly political, attitudinal, and narcissistic. I, for one, would prefer Lady Gaga's quote-unquote abracadabra buffoonery to this stuff. And I'll explain why on box number 7. I should have figured that the current political climate was going to have some kind of net effect on the Super Bowl halftime show, and whether or not you believe the halftime shows are about messaging and the appeal to a power, I assert that they do. Over the years, we've seen a lot of what people reflexively interpret as disjointed and crazy halftime shows that seem to make no real sense until you dig into the occultic underpinnings, these nods of deference, these fulfillments of Faustian bargains, and see that these are simply people worshiping their maker. And no, I don't mean the one above us. I mean the one that made them who they are now. Sound ridiculous? Well, it's my podcast. But whether it's Madonna as Baphomet in 2012, along with the Crowley / Horus magical pronouncements with CeeLo Green and Nicki Minaj, or whether it was Bruno Mars employing the black Saturnian triangle on stage in 2014, Katy Perry managed to channel the entire Whore of Babylon persona in 2015. And furthermore, Rihanna employed the same alchemical persona as the Scarlet Woman, another extension of that Babylonian mistress, and even showed her baby bump, which implied she was pregnant with the child of Horus, or in some cases, depending on what your occultic affiliation is, the by extension child of Aleister Crowley. That was 2023. Oh, and by the way, Lady Gaga also does this in her new video, Abracadabra, but I digress. And don't get me started, by the way, on the retrofitted and ridiculous gaslighting charade that tried to reverse engineer a complete scurrilous mockery of the Last Supper at the Olympic Games, courtesy of Emmanuel Macron and his wife. The fact is, these people are simply having church. So I was expecting something far more metaphysical in form from Kendrick Lamar, who has no compunction about dressing up like a crucified Christ and using the pinnacle salvific moment in our history while using it to hash out his own cultural grievances. So sacrilege isn't exactly an apprehension of his. It was, in fact, more of what we're used to, though, this year. A political screed against the system, and also an implication that hip-hop culture is accusing the industry of planting duplicitous shills into the top music slots to cause dissension inside of black culture. At least that's how I see it. I could be wrong, but now the only reason I see this is because I rewatched the replay of last night's halftime show 67 times. All right, not that many times, but a few. I'm not sure of any of the overt messaging got through to most people, though, aside from the predictable dig at Trump. I believe it was, anyway. It's where he said it's the right time, but the wrong guy. He could have been making a slap at Drake, too, but I'll get to that in a minute. And I expect that kind of stuff. I actually am not really bothered by political messaging from famous people when they're given a platform. So, and the fact that Samuel L. Jackson was dressed up as Uncle Sam, boy, one would have to know his role from Django Unchained to get the totality of that moment. And the slave era deprecating phrase associated with him. Let's just say it's a two-word phrase that starts with the word house and it ends with the N-word. And this is, of course, the persona of Samuel L. Jackson dressed up as the man, Uncle Sam, probably presenting the Uncle Tom persona, and he's cautioning Lamar not to be too ghetto, as if to violate the parameters of, I don't know, the record industry, the white sensibilities of the people that run the show, what have you. And when we see an entire cast of black male dancers forming an American flag, this, of course, is implying that America was built on the backs of slavery and the black man, a very common claim and part of the political discourse. The stage was a replica of the dystopian survivor show The Squid Games, which is basically a rich versus poor plot. And this is, of course, the classic bourgeoisie versus proletariat argument fleshed out in everything from college campuses to Marx and Engels, the Communist Manifesto, and is also part of standard political discourse, even for today. At one point, the stage takes on the form and the patina of a prison yard, but shaped like a PlayStation controller when viewed from above. The interactions between Lamar and Uncle Sam keep referring to how he plays the game. So the overall message is Lamar is taking a stand against quote-unquote playing the game, which is, I assume, a declaration of war against any presentational framework that caters to again, the white, not necessarily the audience, but the marketing reps and people that have the strength of positioning and marketing things in a certain direction, at least their attempt to do that. Thus, the not like us theme fits in here and is woven kind of throughout, even though the song is really only placed at one place. But I think this not like us theme was also meant as a cudgel to go after Drake. If my audience doesn't know who Drake is, you're going to have to look all this up, but he's another rapper that's out there. And this moment in the halftime show was meant seemingly to accuse him of implied statutory violation of someone under 18, we'll put it that way. And he tried to, as a matter of fact, it's in the lyrics where he says he tried to strike a chord, but it was A minor. Obviously a musical reference, but also a statutory legal reference that fits within, of course, the clever rhetorical turns of many of these big name rappers. So this is also attributed to Lamar donning a lowercase A on the end of his chain necklace for the performance, although that might be a, quote, A minor or a lowercase a. Some say it could also be mocking Drake by using the first letter of his first name, which is Aubrey. He also implies that he's an industry plant, you know, like a Manchurian candidate of sorts, something like that. And as a final diss, Lamar had Serena Williams on stage when happens to be Drake's ex and was kind of rubbing that in his face. Which is, of course, a standard technique that males tend to employ when throwing down territorial gauntlets, although it doesn't appear Kendrick Lamar was making any sort of relational or sexual claims on Serena Williams, who is kind of an independent individual in her own right. Anyway, now that I've given you my brief but rock-ribbed analysis of a moment critics are in some circles calling, quote, one of the most artistically brilliant and multi-layered protests ever foisted upon the stage of a Super Bowl halftime show, I simply have to ask the following question. How in Sam Hill did anyone decide it was a good idea to take some street-level beef between rap artists and let them flesh it out on stage meant for the entire world? White, black, I don't care who you are. Really, for the most part, the majority of people are not interested in these subcutaneous beefs between rap artists unless you're caught up in that world by itself. I've seen commentary online from Blue Check Crowd that said Lamar, quote unquote, ended Drake on stage. He ended him. Man, did you see that mic drop? Lamar went out there and absolutely, it's over for Drake. Yeah, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. This hyperbolous offshoot, these sort of closed and somewhat incestuous takes on people dropping things and making mic drops and ending people really is a short-sighted and stupid thing to hook your wagon to. Because you know why? Because I just looked up and saw Drake is playing Melbourne, Australia, and then New Zealand very, very soon. He's got concerts, probably all of them sold out at this point, so his audience really doesn't care. And some of the people that stood there and watched Kendrick Lamar on television last night in New Zealand and Australia are most likely gonna see this as well. So he could probably care less, and Kendrick Lamar ended absolutely nothing. All he did was fire his own diss arrows from the Super Bowl, and my assumption is Drake will, of course, go into the studio and fire back in his own urban-tinged He-Man, Woman-Haters, Little Rascals lyrical shots, and then we'll hear about that somewhere, at least in some of the magazines and online. It really does give me these beta male vibes, to be honest, and quite frankly, hip-hop isn't exactly transacted anymore in the Coliseum of the heterosexual as it is. But on and on this will go. Sometimes, I guess, mic drops are for the dropper. Just like a comedian saying, that joke was for me. Can we please get back to actual fighting? I mean, the physical knockdown drag out. I want to see Lamar and Drake get into a UFC ring and end it bare knuckled. Or even better, the town square. High noon. Pair of pistols. One shot. Eye to eye. 50 paces. But this business about going into a studio and curating clever rhymes about ersatz pedophilia and alliterative comebacks using other people's ex-girlfriends as props is already a tired and worn-out technique, at least for me. I'd rather the Super Bowl halftime show go back to conjuring Leviathan from Dante's Ninth Circle. I'd rather see Jay-Z doing that Illuminati eye thing with his hands while muttering in the Enochian or pointing to the all-seeing eye on the back of the dollar bill for that matter. At least they admit to something esoteric and spiritual. Oh, Beyonce, you have a call on line 6. Collect. It's Sasha Fierce. Look, I'm not actually advocating for any of the clandestine activities that has Esperanza Spalding flashing the as above, so below signs during a telethon while standing next to John Legend. I'm just saying, a catfight between rappers that don't have the facility for gunplay at some point is just too much for me to take. Until next time, this is Box Number 7.